Thank the Lord for the truth of the song, He's More Wonderful.
Amen.
And He is. Amen. He's wonderful. The Scripture says that. And in my life, He's proven Himself to be more wonderful. And I praise the Lord for His goodness. Well, it's good to see each of you in the house of the Lord today. And it's particularly good to see Brother Larry and Bowden. Brother Larry's not been able to be with us because of some tests and some treatments, and he has asked, gave a letter, a card, and asked that I read it, and so I'd like to read it before I get to the message this morning. And Brother Larry, I want you to know we love you. We certainly have prayed for you, and it sure is good to see you back with us today. Pastor and church family, I want to thank you all for your prayers, texts, and phone calls for my recent infusion for my MG disease. God has blessed me again. I want to praise and give thanksgiving to our God. I know in my age, I have the wind at my back. Amen. And 1 second closer to being face to face with my loving Savior. Thanks for demonstrating your Christian virtues on me. God bless you all. Brother Larry and Bowden. And we certainly appreciate Brother Larry and his kindness and just the wisdom and just being a part of our church family. We're glad that God has shown him mercy and allowed him to be back with us again in the house of the Lord. Well, I want to, with the help of the Lord, I want to get it right into the message this morning. I want to talk to you about eternal life, the eternal life of the believer. The Apostle Paul here in chapter 8 has been talking about some things, some challenges in chapter 6, 7, and 8. And now, as we looked at last week, he said he asked some questions. And he said, you know, these questions that are asked, he said, God is just all in for us. And we talked about that last week. And then he closes this section and he said, you know, there's a promise of Scripture that God gives, and that is that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I want you to just take a look at this, and we're going to try to answer some questions today. When a person gets saved, what does that mean? What does it mean when a person gets saved? When does a person receive eternal life? I think a lot of the confusion is really right there. Many people believe, well, you know, when you die, a decision is made to whether you get eternal life or not. No, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Word of God teaches, and we'll see this in clarity in just a moment, that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you inherit eternal life. It is the gift of God. It's not something that plays out to see how you're going to live, to see whether God is going to merit you with eternal life based on how you've lived. Now, before I get into the message this morning, I want to make it very clear that God has high expectations for His children. And God has laid down some things that He expects out of we who were saved and are called the children of God. God expects you, if you're saved, now if you're here and you're not saved, listen, this is not for you, write this part. But if you're saved, God said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Word of God says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. See, God expects me, Titus chapter 2, to live soberly. You too, if you're saved, righteously and godly in this present world.
Amen.
If you're saved, God has expectations for your life. God doesn't excuse sin in the life of the believer. God judges sin in every life. All sin either has been or will be judged. And either you can be judged for that sin, or you can come to Christ and accept that He has been judged for your sin. All men will stand before God one day, and give an account of their life. Some will stand at the great white throne judgment. Those that have never been saved will stand before God and know that they had an opportunity to receive Christ, but they rejected or they didn't come to Christ. And because of that, they will be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. But we who are saved are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or bad. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. So we all are going to stand before Him, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so before I get into this, please don't think that your pastor has a light view on sin, because I'm a Bible believer. I'm a Christ follower. And I believe that God has a very strong view, a very narrow view on sin when it comes to acceptance. I do not want to have a light view of sin, because my Father does not have a light view of sin. And if you're saved, you do not want to have a light view of sin. Sin is not to be treated flippantly, casually, or nonchalantly. Sin is to be dealt with. Sin is to be confessed. Sin is not to have dominion over we who were saved. The Word of God teaches that. You see, when I was lost, sin had dominion over me, Romans chapter 6. But now that I'm saved, Romans 6:14 says that sin shall not have dominion over me. See, I've changed masters. I no longer belong to the devil. I'm God's child. Amen. I'm in God's family. I'm part of God's body. And for me, as a part of Christ's body, to come out of that, well, God's going to have to do some surgery. God's going to have to tear up Christ's body, because I'm in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I've been baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit of God. And now that I'm in the body, in order to get me out of that body, Satan's going to have to be stronger than God. I want to remind you, and I need to be reminded of this often, that Satan is not close to even being that close to being as powerful as God. God is the creator. Satan is the created. Did you know in the book of the Revelation in chapter number 20, God's going to send one angel to lock that old devil up? One angel, read it. Going to lock him up in the bottomless pit. Not going to have to send an army of angels. One. Going to lock him up. And so, we need not be confused about this matter. The one that I serve, the keeper of my soul, is far greater in power than the devil. He's far greater in grace than the devil is in evil. You see, I'm not counting on myself to get me to heaven. It's not my works. For by no man's works will a man ever get to heaven. Not by works of righteousness, Titus 3:5. But according to His mercy, God saves us. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're saved by grace. Amen. Not by works. The same grace that saves us keeps us. That's right. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, we get this thing confused and we think, well, you know what, I've got something to do with me getting saved. I just want to remind you now, brethren, the only thing you had to do with getting saved is accepting it. And the only thing you'll have to do with keeping you saved is accepting it. Just accept what God has said. Say, well, I'm not going to accept it. You're still going to stay saved. I'm going to show you that from the Bible. So what about those that just want to walk away? Where are you going to go where God's not? Did you know that God said that you're in His hand? Jesus said you're in His hand and He's in God's hand and you're in both of their hands. Now how are you going to get out of a hand that big? A hand that scooped out a place for the waters of the ocean to run. Now how are you going to get out of that hand? You can't get out of that hand. See, you take too much on yourself. You think that you are in control of whether you're going to get in or stay in or this or that. Listen, God is in control of your salvation. And He has given it to you as a gift. I want to show you from the Bible. Now, I know what some folks say, and so I want you to just turn When you read this, we could read no more scripture than this right here. And here it is. Look at it. Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul names every single thing that you could imagine. Listen, there's nothing inside or outside of life that's not mentioned in verse 35 and 38 and 39. And he said, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God. I'm glad for that. Amen. But I want you to turn to some scripture with me. I'm only going to turn to one verse of scripture on this matter, and that is where people get a little confused, but I'm going to turn to several scriptures and ask you to turn with me on what the Bible teaches about eternal life. Eternal life. I want you to turn to Matthew just for a moment in chapter number 7. Some folks get real confused. Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is teaching on the Sermon of the Mount. And he's been teaching some really, really good subject material. Some of the greatest teaching that Jesus ever did is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that we call the Sermon on the Mount. What a great message he preached. In verse number 20 of Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus makes this statement. Look in verse number 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so some people have taken this first scripture and say, well, there you go. You know, not everyone that says that they're saved is saved. Well, I'll agree with that. Amen. Not everyone that says they're saved, saved. So not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, look at it, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now I want you to look at verse 22. Many. God doesn't play with words. Many. Please don't misunderstand what Jesus is teaching. There's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven. They're on their way to hell. Many, Jesus said. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We're preachers. We stood up and testified of you. You see what Jesus is saying? It's not what you do, it's who you trust. We're going to see that in just a moment. He said, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have not cast out devils. A lot of that going on today in the name of Christ. Aren't we casting out devils? Surely we must be saved. You might be. Amen. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Look how we served you. Look how we attended church. Look how we sold our goods and given them to the poor. Well, surely we must be a Christian. None of these things make you a Christian. You can preach. You can prophesy. Listen to me now. You can cast out devils. You can do many wonderful works. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. You show me one place in the Bible where any of these things declare that you're a Christian. You don't become a Christian by doing any of these things. Now, as a Christian, you ought to be involved in these things. But simply doing these things do not make us Christian. Amen. He said, and then, and this is very important, verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I find it very interesting what they called wonderful and good works. Jesus said, it's just iniquity to me. Did you notice what Jesus said? Please don't miss this. I mean, this is really important stuff. Because there's a lot of people who have been slipped counterfeit. There's a lot of people who are deceived. I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation. I just want you to know that if you're saved, you're saved, amen. You're in. But if you're not, you need to get in. Please don't think any kind act or any good deed you've done is going to get you in. Salvation is of the Lord. It's the work of Jesus plus nothing minus nothing. It's by grace and grace alone, brethren. And so the Bible says here that Jesus said, when these folks say they've done all of these wonderful things, he said, because you've done them in your own name and because you've done them in the name of a religion or a denomination or a movement and because you have not taken my grace into account, he said, it's iniquity. It's iniquity that you do. And he said, depart from me. Now watch what he said there in verse number 23. I never knew you. We're going to visit that in just a moment. But before we do, there's a part in this phrase that Jesus makes that I'm very interested in. I mean, when I first heard this preached, I got so interested in it, I went home and studied it out as a young Christian because there's something I wanted to know. I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said in verse number 24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, have you heard Jesus' sayings? Have you ever heard the word of God? Did you know that God uses the word to beget, to birth people into his kingdom? Amen. It's by the word of God, James 1, that we are begotten into the family of God. It's by that, 1 Peter, it's by that incorruptible seed of God that we're saved, brethren. Thank God for his word. So here's what he said. I'm telling you what Jesus said on how you get in to God's family. You do not get in God's family by preaching a good message, by giving a good testimony. We do not get into God's family by doing many wonderful works or casting out devils or being baptized. I'm telling you what God said, what Jesus himself said. He said, you don't get in that way in verse number 22. He said in verse number 24, this is how you get in. You hear the word of God. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now watch this now. Watch what he said. I'm in verse 24. I got ahead of myself there. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Watch it now. But he that doeth the will of my Father. There it is. There it is. I want to do the will of the Father. That's how I get in. You say, well, you just following God's teachings? Well, let's see what the will of the Father is. What's the will of the Father? What's the will of the Father when it comes to knowing the Son? That's what Jesus is talking about. When it comes to calling him Lord, you following me? I hope that you're following. When it comes to knowing Jesus, when it comes to getting into the kingdom, when it comes to saying, Lord, Lord, you're mine, I'm yours. He said, it's not by what you do, it's who you trust. Whose will are you doing? Look what he said. He said in verse number 21, he said, it's not everyone that what? Saith. You can say you're a Christian, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's he that doeth the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? Notice if you would, go over to John just for a moment. John chapter number 6. Turn there if you would. John 6, Jesus is going to tell us what the will of the Father is. Look, if you would, in verse 35. John 6, verse 35. We'll look at this in one more scripture, and then I'll just pick up here another time. But I want you to know that you have eternal life on the basis of the scripture. I'm going to show you undeniably this morning. Undeniably. Notice if you would. Verse 35. John chapter 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye shall have seen, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad when you went to Jesus, he didn't cast you out? Amen. He received you just as you are. Notice if you would in verse number 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of the Father. He said, I'm going to tell you what the will of the Father is. Now listen, it's very important. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. What's the will of the Father? Well, 1 Timothy 2:4, before we read this, I want you to know this. It's God's will. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that men come to the knowledge of the truth and that all men be saved. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. Write it down. That's God's will. That men come to the knowledge of the truth and that all men be saved. It's God's will for every person to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing, here's the will of the Father, God is not willing that any should perish. This is the will of the Father. But that all should come to repentance. That's the Father's will. Now watch this in verse number 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did you see what the will of the Father was? And so Jesus said, listen, it's not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. It's not everyone that says, hey, I'm a Christian. I was born a Christian. I was born in America. Doesn't that make me a Christian? I got baptized. Doesn't that make me a Christian? I joined a church. I hooked up or associated with some denominational. I'm affiliated with some religious organization. Doesn't that make me a Christian? No, it does not. Jesus said in John 6, verse 40, he said, it's not he that saith, but it's he that will do the will of the Father. And he said in John 6, 40, the will of the Father that sent me is that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? That's about a half of you. So I'm talking to more lost people than I realized. I'm going to ask that again. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? And have you received the fact that he died for your sin, was buried, and resurrected the third day? Amen. Have you believed that in your heart? Have you received him? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. That's the way you become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by attending church, by doing good deeds, by preaching, by singing, by selling your goods or giving to the poor. We become Christians by accepting the free gift of God's salvation. And God's salvation is in his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's a personal relationship with him, with Jesus Christ. That's the way you become a Christian. Now, once you become a Christian, what does the Scripture say? Did you hold your place in Matthew? I hope that you did. In Matthew 7, the Bible says this. When Jesus said, I will, verse 23, profess unto them, I never knew you. Now I want you to look at that. I never knew you. Now Jesus is a gentleman, and I mean that with honor. He's a man of his word. If Jesus never kept his word just one time, we're doomed. You listening? If Jesus ever went back on one of his promises, if just one time his word was not accurate, we're done. Because then he's not God. Then his sacrifice is not valid. And so he said to this group that is saying, I've done all these works, I'm a good person, he said, I'm going to tell you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Listen, these people didn't say, don't you remember I went out to the juke joints? I went to the dance halls. I did everything I could to blaspheme your name. I cursed God and I cursed Christians. And I did everything I could to denounce the word of God and to defame the people of God. They didn't say that. They said, I've done good and I've done respectable. I've stood and I prophesied in your name and I cast out devils. I tried to help people. Done many wonderful works. Jesus said to that crowd right there, I'm going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Did you get that? Look at it one more time in verse 23 before we turn to John 10 and I bring this to a close for this morning. So we go to John chapter 10. Now Jesus is speaking again. Very familiar passage of Scripture. So, if I'm to take the Scripture at face value, and I do, amen, and I will suggest you do, I think most of you do, we are a Bible-believing church. When I was asked to come and help this family, and listen, I'm honored to do this, and you pray for me. I want to be a blessing to this family. And I just thought this week, that could have been me, were it not for the grace of God. That could have been me in my life as a young man. That could have been me going out into eternity without God. Could have been some of you. But God showed favor and mercy that was unmerited. I didn't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace. Somehow we've come to a place in our country to think that God owes us His grace. And God owes us something. But brethren, God doesn't owe us His grace. It's God's goodness that extends His grace. Oh, I'm so thankful for the fact that God is just intrinsically good. He's just the embodiment of all that is right and all that is good. And He's extended His mercy to us who are sinners. I told that hurting mother, I said, listen, I want to tell you now, I'm a Bible preacher. I'm going to preach what the book says. I want to comfort, and God's Word will give comfort. And I want to help, and God's Word will give help. But I know nothing more but to preach the Word of God. And can I tell you, there's nothing more that needs to be done. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Amen. It's the Word that gets it done. John chapter 10, Jesus is given the Word. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. You listening? Are you there? Look at verse 27. John 10, verse 27. Jesus is the good shepherd. He said that back in verse number 10, 11 of this same chapter. He said, as the good shepherd, I want you to know that when you come into my fold, you're my sheep. Don't miss it now. And He said, my sheep hear my voice. Look at that next phrase. Would you say it with me this morning? And I know them. One more time. I know them. That's what Jesus said. A man of honor. The Son of God Himself. Who over in Matthew said, I'm going to declare to a group of people, I never knew you. I never knew you. But He said, there is a group of people that I'm going to say, I know you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Look at it one more time. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give. They do not earn it. They do not earn it. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's that next word? Never. There's a double negative there. Never, no, never perish. I'm going to take the word of Jesus on this one. Amen. See, if I could perish, number one, Jesus would not be a man of His word. Why? Because He gave me eternal life. Amen. But not only that, when you get saved, you become part of the fold, you become part of the body, you become part of the family. Amen? Does the Bible teach this, brethren? Brethren, I'm asking now, does the Bible teach this? We need to be clear on this. The Bible does teach when you get saved, you become part of the fold, you become part of God's family. You become part of the body of Christ. And so He said, my sheep hear my voice. When you become part of the fold, you are a sheep, He's the shepherd. He said, they hear my voice. And He said, I know them. So you get saved, you become part of the family, you become part of the fold, He knows you. But now, if there's ever a time that He doesn't know you, and He says, I never knew you, you know what that means? There'll never be a time when Jesus will ever tell you, I never knew you. Because He knows you. And if He knows you, there can never be a time that He never knows you. Did you see what just happened there? That's the eternal security of the believer. And then He went on to say this as we bring this part of the message to a close. It's just my first point. Look at verse number 28. He said, I give unto them eternal life. I just want you to know you do not have 2-year life. Now, you might have a 2-year term life insurance. If you do, I would suggest you get it up to at least 10 or 20. Amen. And I'm not selling insurance this morning. You might have a 2-year term insurance, but you don't have 2-year life with God. 10-year life. Not even 20-year life. You've got you one of those eternal life deals. You know what eternal is, don't you? It's everlasting. It never ends. It never ends. And if it does, well, then it wasn't eternal. Amen. Look at it again. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any. And I want you to notice that next word there. It's in italics. I'm a King James man through and through. You'll never find anyone more King James than me. You might find them as. But I just want you to know that italics there was supplied there by the translator to help give clarity to the verse. This verse, without doing harm to the scripture, and I would never want to do that, could read this. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Not just man. There's none. None. You go home and read Romans 8, 35 through 39 again. None is going to be able to separate you. None is going to be able to pluck you. Tribulation, persecution, distress, peril, sword, life, death, things present, things to come, or any other creature going to be able to get you out of that hand. Amen. Amen. You know why? You're eternally safe and secure in Christ. Say, well, I just don't know if I can believe that. Well, I can't even hardly believe I'm saved, but I am.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Me, Dale Freeman, I'm saved. Sometimes I get to thinking about it, it's like, I'm saved. God saved me. God saved me. Listen, I struggle more that God would save me than that God would keep me saved. God saved me. The same God that saved me is keeping me saved, amen. That God that saved me. We'll finish this another time. I want you to stand with me, and I want to quote a verse of scripture. I hope you'll quote with me, John 3:16. Then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Brandon for the invitation. Would you say John 3:16 with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know that you could get any clearer than that.